The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. I've got a surprise for you. I think I mentioned that a few weeks ago I was in Kansas City, and I was at what they call the International House of Prayer, IHOP, as they call it, hanging out with Mike Bickle, who is known to some of you, and hanging out with my buddy, Ken Fish. And Ken Fish got me into this mess. And also there were Francis Chan, who we had on this program recently, and a guy named Andy Bird, and a really young guy named Chris Reed. He's a callow individual. We became friends, and I wanted to have him on this program. I love talking to him, and now I get to do it on the air, and you get to listen. Chris Reed, my friend, welcome.
Hi, Eric. Good to see you. Glad to be with you.
It's great to see you. You crack me up, and that's like one of my highest compliments I could possibly pay, because when we were together, you're very gifted and anointed, as we say, but you're also fun to talk to. You joke around. And, for example, I asked you the simplest question. You're a tall guy, and I said, how tall are you? Do you remember how you answered me?
No, I don't right off.
I know you don't. But what's the answer to that question?
6'7".
6'7". But what you said to me, you couldn't leave it at that. You said 6'7", but that's only if I stand all the way up.
Yeah.
That is so dumb. You go into the pantheon of comedy greats just for that line. You're at Morningstar Ministries right now. Is that right?
Correct. Just got moved here 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's kind of the headline, Chris, because I want to talk about what we talked about in Kansas City. But you are taking over for Rick Joyner. I mean, I don't think Rick's going anywhere, is he?
No. I've moved here, and I'm kind of right now just in a training process. I'm shadowing Rick Joyner, and so, you know, ultimately, we don't know how long the transition will take, but that's certainly why I'm here.
You have a fascinating story, and I want to tell my audience really that you. This is so strange. It's hard for people to think about. But you began preaching at an extremely early age. Tell my audience about that, because now you're 36. You're very mature beyond your years. But you were preaching like as a kid. How old were you when you started?
So by the time I actually got started speaking on a regular basis, I was 14. And just my parents were, you know, driving me to my respective opportunities to speak and such. And then so by the time I was 18, I had ministered in over 200 churches. So I started pretty young. Yeah.
Well, here's a dumb question. But now that I'm in my 50s, I think if a 14 or 15 or 16 year old or 17 year old or 18 year old got in the pulpit, I'm not sure that I could sit there. It seems odd to me that a kid would really have anything to share homiletically speaking or whatever. Now, what do you think? In other words, it's kind of a curious thing. Now that you're older, if a 14-year-old gets into the pulpit, what would you even make of it? It almost seems like a parlor trick, like a crazy thing, like the midget batter, you know, what was his name back in the 1940s? They put a 3'8" midget in to bat, so the strike zone. It seems kooky, like you can't really take it seriously. But obviously it was serious. But so what do you make of it today, the idea of a 14-year-old preaching?
So I look back and think how thankful I am that I would even have crowds of people, especially adults, sit through and listen to that. But, you know, I'm not only thankful for that, but I also am appreciative of the fact that even at a young age, I felt like that one of the gifts that God gave me was just the gift of wisdom. And so beyond my years, you might say, I seem to be able to study the Word of God, break it down, and with passion and excitement, you know, share it. And so I think that maybe helped make up for the lack of age.
I have no doubt that it made up for it. And just as I know you now, you're wise well beyond your years. And I imagine that they wouldn't have put you out there as a 14-year-old unless you actually had something to say. And listen, the people in the congregation would immediately get that. They would immediately understand that wisdom is wisdom. There's no such thing as 14-year-old wisdom. It's either wisdom or it's not. But it's just amazing that you got your start that way. That was like in a Pentecostal environment. In what state was that?
Indiana, which is where I grew up and spent the first 36 years of my life.
So you have just moved. I mean, look, I got to meet your wife and your six kids when we were together, and it was just a delight, and it's one of the reasons that you're so endeared to me. But I want to talk about what happened. I want to get into the prophetic gifting, because you've been given an extraordinary gift, and a lot of people listening to this program don't have the beginning of an idea what it is, whether it's biblical, or some people are sure that it's not. So how did this happen for you? At what age did you begin to hear from God and begin to talk about that?
So even at a young age, I started having serious encounters with the Lord, you know, at 8 years old, hearing the voice, the audible voice of God for the first time. And then, of course, over the next number of years, just, you know, having real encounters with the Lord. But back in 2011, I was pastoring the church that I just left and came from, which was in Peru, Indiana. I grew up in Bloomington, Indiana. But I pastored for 12 years as a senior pastor in Peru, Indiana. And in 2011, just kind of went through a difficult time in my life, and, you know, just probably at a personal low that I had never experienced. I was probably 26, 27. And around that time, I started having nighttime encounters that, honestly, when it first started happening, you know, I didn't really know what was happening, but I would go to bed and I would feel electricity go through my body, and I would wake up and just know that there was a supernatural being in the room. And this went on for about a year. Some nights, you know, three or four nights, some weeks, just one time a week. And then several times during the year, it'd be a succession of nights. And when that happened, these supernatural encounters, which, you know, just I would wake up with a holy reverence and awe. And shortly after that, I would be ministering, you know, in my church or in other churches as a guest speaker. And I would look out in the crowd and I would just know I knew something about the persons there. I would know that they were battling cancer or heart disease. And over time, it became more and more detailed things like, you know, knowing the dream they had the night before, or a conversation, a private conversation they had that morning on the way to church, or just things that we don't think matter to God, but the secrets of the heart that Paul addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 11, he said, if one gets up and reveals the secrets of the heart, they'll know of a surety that God is with you. And so, you know, I'm still learning. There's so much I realize as I get older, I don't know, but it was a growing, I'm still growing in it, and I'm thankful. I don't deserve it.
It was, again, I'm always, for some reason, almost overly aware of the skeptical members of my audience who, when they hear this, they either don't know what to make of it or are immediately dismissive. It bothers them, and so they have to dismiss it, or they have to think, oh, you know, you look funny, or you sound funny, or there's something about you that enables them to put it in a bracket and keep it away from them because they're scared of it somehow. Now, that can be people who are not professing Christians, or it can be people who are very serious about their faith. But this, what you've just related, doesn't fit into anything that they're comfortable with, and so they have to put it to the side. I have experienced all kinds of things, nothing on the level that you have, but from the moment that I came to faith around my 25th birthday, this stuff has not only seemed normative to me, again, maybe not in my life, but in the lives of people around me, that I just thought, what a wonderful, what an exciting thing that this is happening today. I want that. When we come back, I'm talking more with my friend Chris Reed, pastor and CEO of Morningstar Ministries very soon. Stay tuned. Hey folks, are you concerned about memory loss for you or a loved one? VivaLore's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss because her mother had dementia. After many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan Gibson created VivaLore Memory Support. VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit VivaLore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. VivaLore is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. That's VivaLore, VivaLore.com. Check it out. Remember, VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. VivaLore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R at VivaLore.com. Enter promo code 20 for 20% off. VivaLore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
It's knowing that your door is always open. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to my friend, Pastor Chris Reed, who's at Morningstar Ministries in, I guess it's the southernmost part of North Carolina. Is that right, Chris?
It's actually the northernmost part of South Carolina, just like 10 minutes, 15 minutes right outside of Charlotte.
Northernmost part of South Carolina. Close enough. Yeah. Anyway, you're near the border there. You were chosen to succeed our friend Rick Joyner as the CEO of Morningstar Ministries. And so that's why you've moved your family, your lovely wife and 6 kids. But we were just talking kind of about your career. I love to get to know people and for my audience to get to know people. So you said that when you were a young kid, 8 years old, you heard the audible voice of God. I've never heard the audible voice of God. Most people, I'm sure, have not. What was your environment like? Your parents were very serious about their faith, so this seemed maybe normal to you. What did it? How did that manifest itself when it first occurred?
So, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at 8 years old, and the first time I heard the audible voice of God, it was actually in a dream. And the best way I can describe it is it sounded almost like a mixture of thunder and a trombone. I know that doesn't make sense at all, but it certainly, that's how it resonated with me. And in the dream, you know, it was the voice of the Lord, which I firmly believe it was the voice of the Lord telling me, don't try to fit in. It's okay that you're different. You know, don't try to gain acceptance from your peers in school and such. You know, there is a calling on your life, and don't try to conform to anybody's image of you. That was basically what the Lord said. And it, you know, hearing the audible voice of God, I probably have had it happen maybe 5 times in my whole life. So it's not something that happens all the time, but it definitely will shake you to the core and make you realize it's a serious thing. The fear of the Lord will get a hold of your heart, and there's nothing like the fear of the Lord. When you fear the Lord, you have nothing else to fear.
I've not heard that, but that sounds about right. Do the math. When you fear the Lord, you've got nothing else to fear. That's right. So you were in, I think, what could safely be called a very religious environment. In other words, your parents and the people around you were really serious about your faith. So this seemed normal to you, basically. You said you were baptized in the Holy Spirit at age 8. A lot of people listening don't even know what that is. Can you describe what that is for folks who don't know what that means?
Yeah, so my dad's family came into the Pentecostal movement 100 years ago in 1920. But as far as the Pentecostal or charismatic definition of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you're encountering God, you begin to speak in an unknown language or some type of prophetic encounter experience that's never happened before, and you know that it's supernatural in origin.
And so that happened to you when you were 8. So you said after that, you had a number of times as a very young man hearing from God. Anything that you can share with us or worth sharing?
Yeah, and so it was very personal as far as the first few times that I heard the voice of the Lord. I would say the next time was about 14. Of course, you know, I'm a teenager at this point, and I just did not seem to fit in any group, sports, activities, extracurricular stuff. I mean, I had friends. I don't think I was perceived as the weirdo, but I just did not fit in. And so I remember at one point almost trying to compromise my identity, not completely, but just, you know, trying to be cool, trying to fit the definition of what would be accepted. And I started to sway from my relationship with the Lord just a little bit, and had another encounter in the nighttime. And in this one, and I know this is going to sound even more strange, but I literally felt my spirit come out of my body and elevate about 8 feet off the ground. Like, I can still see the image in my mind. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Do not compromise who you are. You feel this way for a purpose. You're not supposed to fit in." And so that really shook me to the core. And so I knew at that point that I would never be able to live a sinful life successfully.
the pool and who of God could? Priest. No one, but I know what you mean. Yeah. So you let's go back to, you said about 10 years ago, you had a series of encounters over the course of a year. And again, I'm always fascinated because this stuff I can imagine sounds so strange to some people. You said that in the middle of the night, you, now by this time you're already a pastor, and in the middle of the night you felt you said a supernatural being or a spiritual being. Do you mean an angel? What do you mean?
I believe, yes, it was an angel of the Lord, but it was always preceded by these feelings of electricity pulsating through my body, and it didn't hurt, but it was like it shook me enough to realize it was almost like I was encountering something, was touching me, connecting with me for a new purpose, a new direction for my ministry. And that was when, you know, when these encounters would happen, I would wake up and I never saw anything or anyone, but I knew there was a holy reverential awe in the room. And I knew there was a supernatural being in the room. And, you know, it was just a calling me to a new type of ministry. And that's when these prophetic experiences began to happen.
When we talk about the prophetic ministry, again, I'm thinking of people who are skeptical of this. There are plenty of people, Christians, who are adamantly opposed to this. They would actually say this is counterfeit. They would say this is demonic. How do you respond to those people? Because obviously many spiritual experiences can be demonic and can be counterfeit. What do you say to people who think that all of these experiences are counterfeit and to be avoided?
Well, I would say two things. First, number one, I completely understand why anyone would be skeptical. I really do, especially in the days of you know, technology and information available online, those, you know, to some degree, those things are available. So I understand why someone would feel skeptical, number one. Number two, when Jesus would minister in the Gospels, a lot of times after he would leave, performing a miracle, prophesying to someone, whatever it might be, changing their life, people would leave saying, strange things happened here today. It actually is recorded that way in the Bible, that people would say that. And so when the religious mind, the Pharisee, the scribes, when they, if they weren't accusing him of staging this, they were accusing him of it being demonic in origin. And so, you know, any type of supernatural activity that we see in biblical times or even after, you know, you hear about Joan of Arc and different people in history, that if it wasn't fake or they were trying to disprove it, it was of the devil. And so I understand why, but it's, here's the thing, and this is what I've said many times. When people have these prophetic words that activates something in their life as an agent of change, or they are demonstrably healed, or things are shared to build their faith that could not be known by internet research or could not be known by an investigator, those are the things that convince people to help them to understand that this, there has to be something to this.
Well, I remember this is what happened just recently when we were in Kansas City together with Mike Bickle and Ken Fish and Francis Chan. A friend of mine walked into the room. Nobody knows anything about him, nor his name. His name's Keith Junta, dear friend of mine, almost 30 years. And but my wife and I were the only ones who know who he is. And he sat down in front. And you, after a little bit, said, I have a word for him. And you mentioned the name of the street where he lives, which is a curious name, and his wife's name. This is the kind of thing that I saw you do rather routinely during our time when we're in Kansas City. And God just does this for you. He just gives you these things. But that was a case, maybe the Lord did it in part to show me that there's no conceivable way you could have looked this up online, because he wasn't somebody that was known to anyone in the room until he walked in. So, you know, that's it's clear to me that there was no way for you to do any research on him. Not that I suspected you of it, but it's nice to know. This happens to you all the time. Is this something you can kind of turn up or turn down? Does it happen to you even when you don't want it to happen to you?
Well, a lot of times, like when I'm, you know, even sitting in a restaurant, I can look around the room and just know that person's going through a divorce, or that person is having an affair, or whatever it might be, you know, the situation.
So the Lord tells you these things. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about that, because I've had other people share this kind of thing with me, that they get this information. It's almost unwanted or not asked for, but God gives it to them. We'll be right back.
With fair as sweet hills and sunshine, laughter, a rainbow love that laughs.
Hey there, folks. We're talking to my friend Chris Reed, R-E-E-D. He will succeed my other friend, Rick Joyner, as the CEO of Morningstar Ministries. You just shared something before the break, that you'd be in a restaurant and the Lord would give you this information about people. Do you feel a compulsion, good or bad, to minister to those people, to go over to somebody and say, God told me this and whatever, just to show them God is real and God sees their lives?
I have many times that has happened. I've had experiences where strangers in a public place have said things like, how do you know that? Like, or you're creeping me out right now. And the purpose is to build their faith, to tell them Jesus knows about your situation. He knows what you're going through, and he wouldn't reveal it unless he intends to heal it. So yeah, those things, as far as being warranted, you know, when this stuff first started happening to me, I would go into a restaurant and feel overwhelming anxiety. And I thought, like, maybe I was having, you know, anxiety issues. And so the more I would avoid crowds, the less I would feel it. But over time, I feel like I've learned, God has given me the grace to understand it better, to know how to, you have to kind of shut it off. If you don't, you'll constantly be pulled in multiple directions. And if I can, real quick, Eric, I want to add one more thing. When you mentioned about, you know, your friend that walked in the room out of state, he knows I had no connection to him. Nobody told me anything ahead of time. A lot of times, many people mistake and think, okay, well, you said his name, a middle name, or, you know, the address. What's the purpose in that? Of course, there were other things shared, too, about details of his life that are not online. But a lot of people hear that and they think, what's the purpose in getting a name? You know, psychics can do that or whatever. And I think the best example, and I would encourage people to check this out, is in Acts chapter 9, when Saul of Tarsus, you know, the scripture, who later became Paul, has this encounter with God on the road to Damascus. He's headed there with letters in hand to kill and persecute Christians. And when he is blinded by the light, he goes to Damascus, is there 3 days without eating. The Lord comes to another Christian named Ananias and tells him in a vision, kind of like the stuff we're talking about, go to this specific street, straight street, go to this specific person named Saul, and go to this specific house, Judas's house. And there's three purposes why the Lord gave Ananias prophetically a name, a specific house, a street name. And it was because, number one, Saul was going to be healed of his blindness from the bright light. He was also going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said there's a third reason for this prophetic information, that he would be the apostle to the Gentiles, to bring light to the Gentiles. So the information or the details are not just for the sake of getting them, but it's to know enough about the person to build their faith, to hear the voice of the Lord, to speak to, number one, divine healing, number two, to bring about an advance encounter with the Lord for that person, or to help bring them into their purpose. And that's in Acts chapter 8 and chapter 9.
The first weekend we were in Kansas City, a bunch of us had lunch. We came out of the lunch, and there was five of us on the sidewalk walking to the cars. And you said, does anybody here have a birthday that's close to their father's birthday? And I said, well, I do. My father and I have the same birthday. And it was just kind of an amazing thing, because if you do the math, I've never met anybody who has a birthday same as their father. And, you know, there were only five people there. If you say that to a room of 1,000, maybe you'll get some. But it was kind of an astonishing thing. And suddenly it gets my attention. And then you had a word for me. 3 minutes later, our buddy Ken Fish walks out. And I said, Ken, you can't believe what just happened. Chris said, does anybody here have a birthday that's, you know, near his father's birthday? And I said, my birthday is on my father's birthday. And Ken Fish says, well, my birthday is also on my father's birthday. The odds of this are loony. They're just crazy. And it does build faith. Let's be honest. If you say, I have a word for you, after you say something like that, somehow you're kind of tuned in, like God's trying to get your attention. I just find it really beautiful and touching how God works with us to build our faith. The idea that he would do that just to get us excited about him and about what he wants to say. I mean, it's all very human. He reaches us at that level, I guess, is my point.
It's interesting. I totally agree. I was actually it was either yesterday or the day before, I was in a room with Rick Joyner and three other leaders here from Morningstar, and I was telling them the story you just told about your birthday and your dad's birthday and Ken's birthday and his dad's birthday. And I believe his dad has been deceased for, like, since he was a child.
Yeah.
And how the word was is that there were purposes, generational purposes, that the preceding generation didn't fulfill that is now becoming to the next generation or to the sons. So I'm telling this story, and there are only four people in the room. First time I've told this story since this happened about a month ago. And one of the guys spoke up and said, I have the same birthday as my dad. I mean, there were four people in there. First time I've shared it, so I knew that the Lord was impressing me to share that story. And he said, the most common prophetic word that I've received is that I would fulfill the purposes in my life that were left undone by my dad. And he said, in fact, that's what I'm doing in my career and what I'm doing in ministry right now. So it's funny you mentioned that. But once again, that does build faith. It does remind us that the Lord is near. And I think that the people, there are just a number of people, their theology or bad experiences with other prophetic ministries in the past have stopped them from being able to accept, believe, or entertain this.
Hang on, going to a break. We'll be right back with Chris Reed. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Chris Reed. Chris Reed, a lot that I want to ask you. First of all, Paul Kane. Paul Kane is a figure. Again, most people listening to this program probably don't know who he was. But boy, oh boy, I heard about him, I don't know, 30 years ago. And he was this man with a prophetic gift that was just astonishing. He would say things like, I'm going to fly to this town to meet you. I'll be there that day. And the day that I land, there'll be an earthquake. And then there was an earthquake. I mean, that kind of thing that just is chilling, gets everybody's attention. You knew him. And I guess the story was that everybody would go up to him and say, you know, Paul, pray that the Lord would give me your mantle, quote unquote. And he got annoyed by it. But in fact, he did pray at the end of his life that his mantle would rest on you. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, the video of that is actually on my YouTube channel, where he lays hands on me and prays that the very thing. I don't think he used the word mantle, but he did say, however the Lord, you have used me, whatever gift was there, I pass on to my brother. So yeah, I knew Paul the last year of his life. He died in February of 2019. He was 89 years old. He was involved back in the Voice of Healing era, even Oral Roberts, William Branham, A.A. Allen, those guys. And then he went, after a number of years, after the 50s, he kind of went silent for a number of years. Then he reemerged in the 80s with John Wimber and Mike Bicklin, those guys. And people saw at a number of times and places that the gift was real. And, you know, sadly, many people only want to know the things, the difficult things, the bad situations in people's lives. But I want you to know, Paul did have a real gift. I saw it in action myself sitting at a dinner table. And he was authentic and in his prophetic gift. There's no doubt about it.
I think a lot of people would ask the question, what's the point of all this? You know, what is, I mean, during this election season, before the election and after the election, there have been a lot of prophetic voices talking about what's going on in the country. You shared someplace what God had said to you about the election. I'm guessing that part of the reason God does this is to encourage us or whatever. If it's true, and I think in your case and a few others that it is true, it seems clear to me God's speaking. Can you share what God said to you about Pennsylvania or whatever that was? Because it struck me as pretty significant.
Yeah. So one of the other things that is often overlooked because of the words of knowledge seem to capture people's attention, but a lot of times the Lord will give me insight into future events. For instance, I publicly prophesied Andrew Cuomo would have one difficulty after another until he was taken out of office. I also prophesied in April of 2020, I've got the documented timestamp, that Israel would produce some type of advanced medicine cure for coronavirus. That's in the headlines right now.
What is in the headlines that they are currently? I hadn't seen that. Tell me about that.
29 out of 30. People that have been using this advanced medicine that Israel has produced that have been either moderate or severe COVID cases, even right now, have recovered within 2 or 3 days. And right now it's in its second trial testing phase. But it's in the news right now as August 2021. And those are the things that I publicly shared in April of 2021. Also,
April 2020.
Also, 6 months before the British Prime Minister became Prime Minister, I publicly prophesied Boris Johnson would become. So just little things like that. No credit to me, all credit to God. But these are documented things. The Lord showed me that Pennsylvania would be a key. Of course, it's the Keystone State, that it would be a key in the in how this election turns out. Of course, we know, I firmly believe that there was corruption and fraud and things like that. But the Lord showed me a vision of George Washington before the election. And I prophesied this publicly as well. George Washington put his arms around Donald Trump and said that he would be leading America to the second revolution. A lot of the things regarding the revolution happened in Pennsylvania, the First and Second Continental Congress, Philadelphia, the Declaration of Independence, and all those things. So Pennsylvania would be a key state that would determine the future direction of our nation. And of course, I believe right now they're also going through the audit, or at least pushing for that to go forward. So I think we're going to see Pennsylvania perhaps be the place where breakthrough happens and all this come out about what really happened.
There are a lot of people who listen to this program that might be on the same page as we and others that wouldn't be. But according to what you've said, and it's funny because, you know, Chris, it's like on the one hand, it's impossible to believe what you said because it just seems so crazy and so wild. And so, you know, I don't want to get my emotions ginned up. At the same time, I know you well enough to know that you wouldn't even talk about this if you had doubts about it. So it sounds like if what you said is right, that the Lord is suggesting, I think, that Donald Trump will be back in leadership and that he will be dealing with some of the corruption and those kinds of things. Do you have a sense of that you would share?
Oh, he will definitely be back on the world stage. There's no doubt about it. I do not have a specific timing indicator, but I believe he will run again in 2024. And I think the Republican Party is still his party.
So you don't think that there's any chance that he would, because a lot of people have said that he would get back in during this term, which again sounds in the natural kind of crazy, but you don't have any sense of that.
I don't have a timing indicator, and the Lord has not said to me that that would happen. But I'm certainly not limiting God to do that. And I think if the revelation comes out of just what happened,
yeah,
we may be in new territory here to where something like that could very well happen.
There doesn't seem to me much question that we are already in uncharted territory and that we're just kind of going through the motions at present. Folks, I'm talking to Chris Reed. Chris, can we keep you for another few minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll keep you here. Don't go away, folks. This is extraordinary stuff. By the way, please subscribe to our newsletter so you get these videos. Go to ericmetaxas.com. Thank you. Every year we do a fundraiser for Food for the Poor. Why? Because we all know that we've got to give back. We all know that there's something we can do, but what? Where do we give? So Food for the Poor is one of a number of organizations that we partner with because they've been vetted. We have a history with them. We know how they work, and we know how far they can stretch your dollar. So if you give $37 to Food for the Poor, one kid can be fed for 6 months for $37, folks. That's astonishing. I hope you're astonished. But anyway, what I wanted to say that we haven't said, because this is tough stuff, it says that children under 5 years old in Honduras. That's one of the places where we're giving to right now. It says that chronic malnourishment causes over 25% of these kids under 5 years to be stunted in their early growth. So we are talking about serious effects. Serious effects. Can you imagine that in our hemisphere, not many miles from America, we have this going on? So this is Food for the Poor is tackling early childhood hunger. That's what we're asking you to give to. $37 feeds a kid for 6 months. Obviously, $111 blesses three kids. This is a real tragedy, but it's something we can do. And it's up to us actually to do it. I'll give you the phone number in just a minute. But I want to say that Marcus Frisch is a project manager at Food for the Poor. We had a clip. I wanted to play that so we can hear from him. Let's play that.
These families are in need. We've heard how people who have never found themselves in a position of begging are now asking for assistance. And if that is happening for the middle class in these countries, you can only imagine the impact that's happening for the poorest.
It's amazing. I mean, people like Marcus Frisch and others, they see these kids. And if you go to places like this and you see these kids and then it hits you that $37 could feed that kid for 6 months. Wow. Yeah. So I'm just hoping that your heartstrings are being tugged on a little bit, because frankly, this is real. This is happening. And we on this program have made a commitment to Food for the Poor to reach out to you on their behalf or on the behalf of these kids. There's a phone number. I'll give you the phone number. 844-863-HOPE. If you prefer the phone, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, or to translate that into numerics, 844-863-4673, or you go to MetaxasTalk.com. If somebody out there could step up and donate $1,000 to Food for the Poor, that would feed, think of this, 27 kids for 6 months. 27 kids for 6 months. It's just crazy. $1,000, which to some people is nothing.
Yeah.
Obviously, we keep saying that if you give $10,000, we would love to have dinner with you at a place of your choosing with as many people as you like. It's on you. So you can invite 20 people or just the two or three of us or
make
whatever it is.
Make it a party. Yep.
We can do it here in New York where I live, or we can do it in your town if I travel to your town. But honestly, I know there are folks out there who can do that. It's tax deductible. Obviously, that would be 270 children for $10,000. 270 children are fed for a half a year. That's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to take advantage of it. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner or call 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. We really do need your help. Thank you.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.